All right, thank you for the introduction. Just to give you a little warning, I am a little bit under the weather. I do have tissue paper if I need it, but hopefully I won't sniffle too much along the way. So appearance editing visualizations is the ability to alter the appearance of a scene with controlled projector light. And this offers the ability to correlate data with the object from which the data originates. With traditional visualization displays, we're alienating the audience from the reality of the complex shape of the object by projecting it onto a 2D monitor or whatnot. And in comparison with our appearance editing visualizations, we can offer a more intuitive visualization with the benefits of the natural cues of the visual system. So on the right here is a photograph of an example of an appearance editing setup. Our particular setup consists of three projectors, a camera, and of course the scene we're going to edit itself. And so we're going to be projecting digital light onto the scene from the projectors. And so to zoom in onto the objects themselves, these two are Mexican vessels from the Casas Grandes cultural region. That region time, I think, was around 1000 to 1500 AD. And two examples of visualizations we can impart onto it are shown here. And so on the top is an example of virtual restoration, where we wish to make the objects appear as if they were new in the time period itself. On the bottom is an example of visualizations imparted onto the vessels. And these two visualizations in particular are just simple examples of the aging that can occur through time. So on the left, there's pink colors, which accentuate regions where excessive deterioration has occurred. And we've also added some annotations onto it. And on the right is a simple color mapping from yellow to blue colors, which represent different degrees of deterioration. To give you an example of the importance of projector placement, let's take a look at some zoom-in regions of these vessels. So if we simply use ad hoc projector locations, meaning that we just arbitrarily place the projector somewhere to go ahead and appearance edit the scene, we can get blurred text and inconsistent colors, or we can get blotchy blue colors as shown on the right object. In comparison, if we use our optimized projector locations, so we run our system, find some projector locations which are going to optimize the radiance available, then we can go ahead and we get the result is sharper text and more consistent colors, and we also achieve a smoother blue color on the appearance on the right object. Here's another example of we have a simulation system which simulates the effect of appearance editing. On the left here is the target appearance we like to achieve, and the right is an example of the albedo of the three objects. And in this particular example, we use two projectors, and this is an example of the two appearance edits you can achieve on the top with the optimal projectors and on the bottom with the ad hoc projectors. And so I don't know if it's too clear with the projectors here, but if you take a look at the paper images, the color differences should be much more clear. But in particular, in the middle object, there should be a little bit of discoloration, and on the left object, there actually is a little bit of dimmer colors on the white in particular. But we do have visualizations which should come up a little bit more clearly here, and this is a visualization of compensation compliancy, meaning that it basically measures how well the colors were achieved. And so magenta colors here indicate incompliancy, or that there's going to be some sort of color shift that occurs, and the blue and green colors indicate more compliancy. Therefore, projector planning for appearance editing visualizations is vital to handling scene-specific issues. And so the surface albedo affects the amount of light reflected from the surface, and the projector surface relationship is going to affect the amount of projector light which reaches the surface itself. Our work in projector planning addresses three issues. The first, as mentioned, is compensation compliancy, which again basically measures the ability for the colors to be achieved in the visualization. And if we don't achieve the proper colors, we can get a misleading visualization as a result. Second, we'd also like to consider light radiance efficiency. And so this essentially states that in general, we'd like to use a minimal amount of projected light radiance. And this could be important for specific applications. For example, in the virtual restoration application, you don't want to emit too much light onto the objects. Otherwise, the light radiance itself may further deteriorate the objects. And these could be very fragile objects. And so that's not good. And there might also be limitations in the light sources themselves if they're very weak projectors or whatnot. And finally, we can consider practical issues, one example being to provide a clear path for the user to view the visualization. So obviously, if we have a setup where the projectors are obstructing the view, then there's no point in the visualization at all. In a standard appearance editing pipeline, we begin with an acquisition and calibration step where we acquire a 3D model of the scene and calibrate the projectors and camera. Then we compute the light transport between the projector and camera. And then, knowing the target appearance, we compute compensation images, which when projected by the projectors onto the object, gives us our appearance edited scene. Our work is going to add a single step and modify the appearance editing pipeline. We again begin with an acquisition and calibration phase. But then, with the target appearance in mind, we plan the optimal projector positions, and then compute the light transport from these positions, and compute the compensation images again, which gives us our appearance edited scene. Here's an overview of the remainder of my presentation. First, I'll talk about previous and related works. Then I'll define compensation compliancy and formulate a linear system to model it. Then I'll show you how to apply the linear system in a search algorithm to discover the optimal projector locations. And then we'll talk about the results and limitations in future work. So let's begin with the previous and related works. There's a lot of related research areas that span our work, including work in displays for visualization, appearance editing, and viewpoint planning. However, in all these fields, there's no actual previous work on projector positioning for appearance editing visualizations, which focus on the surface's properties and the amount of available projector light. There is, however, a lot of related work that I'll briefly go over. For example, in the field of displays for visualization, there's a lot of work which calibrates projectors geometrically on various types of surfaces, and there's also work in achieving uniformity of colors across multiple projectors. However, in all these works, the projectors are placed in a tiled or ad hoc manner. In appearance editing, there's a lot of work in computing various types of compensation images to achieve various goals. There's also a lot of work in radiometric calibration, and there's also a work that we've done previously in achieving luminance compliancy. However, there's still no planning of projector positions, so in all these works, the projectors are still arbitrarily placed. And finally, in viewpoint planning, there's heuristic approaches for 3D acquisition and synthetic rendering. However, most of these works only focus on surface coverage and visibility, and in comparison, we also have to consider the surface's properties as well. Now let's define compensation compliancy. So when we generate an appearance using projectors, we do make a couple of assumptions in our work. First, we assume that the surface that we're editing is diffuse with no inner reflections or other indirect illumination effects due to the projector light. And second, we assume that the contribution due to the black level lighting is negligible. But if you take a look at the paper, I won't discuss it right now, it doesn't affect any of our computations to make this assumption. And so appearance generation is dependent on the projector, P sub J, and the object surface point that we're considering, Q sub I. And so this little diagram on the bottom will be filling in, and the projector is on top, and the surface that we're editing is on bottom with a particular point that we're interested in. And so each projector has a maximum irradiance that can be given, and that's what we call IMAX. And that can be achieved if the projector is, you know, directly lined up to the point and relatively close, so that distance attenuation is negligible. We do consider various types of attenuation that are going to reduce the intensity IMAX, and the first is the surface albedo. So if the color of the surface is very dark or very red and pure in colors as opposed to pastel, then that's going to limit the color range that is possible depending on where our projector is placed. And the visibility of the projector is also in consideration. So obviously, if we have arbitrarily placed surfaces, we may have some situations, arbitrarily placed projectors, we may have some situations where the surface itself is going to occlude some points of on the surface. And so we're also going to consider attenuation due to the angle between the projector and surface normal. This is more commonly known as the N dot L. And of course, we're going to consider distance attenuation as well. So if the projectors are placed very far away, then the intensity possible is going to be much less. So then we can formulate and define compensation compliancy as the fact that the projectors must be able to provide enough projector light in each RGB channel to generate the target color T of I. And so that's just an inequality of our appearance generation function A that must be greater than or equal to the target color T of I. And if we have P projectors in our setup, then that's simply going to be a summation of the appearance generation functions, one for each projector, is greater than the target color that we wish to achieve. In computing a compensation image, we make an equality by adding scale values S of ij, which is just going to give us the intensity emitted from the projector pixel, and S of ij is going to scale imax, and it's going to be constrained between 0 and 1. And so then we achieve linearity for our system by sampling projector locations on an imaginary sphere around the scene, leaving the S of ijs as the only unknowns. And when we do this, we pre-compute the distance terms for each of the sampled projector locations, and we also evaluate visibility for each of the projector projector positions on each surface point that we're using. And so in total, we still have our summation, and it's simply a bunch of constants multiplied by the S of ij unknowns is equal to T of I. So if we put our, if we formalize our linear system now, and we let X be the solution vector of scale values, and T be the target color vector, then our final constrained linear system of equations is MX equal T, where the matrix is scaled by IMAX, and it's a blockwise diagonal matrix of W values, and the W values are essentially the constants that we pre-evaluated, and it's for all the visible points. We aren't going to put the non-visible points in the system, since those would just be a zero equation, and it's not really going to do anything. The residual in the system indicates the level of incompliancy, which we'll use later on. And this, we also sparsely sample the surface to limit the number of points in the linear system. And that's just for performance reasons. So then we can define an optimal projector placement as a balance between compensation compliancy and light radiance efficiency. And so that's measured by this Q metric, where the first fraction is going to represent compensation compliancy, and the second fraction represents light radiance efficiency. And so beta here is a user-specified importance between the two properties, and the rest of the terms simply compute some term that we can balance. And so C of K is the residual of the linear system. The summation is to accommodate for the occluded points that aren't in the linear system. And L of K is the average S of ij value in the solution vector. And Cmax and Lmax are normalizing constants, so we can balance the two reasonably. Now let's take a look at how we use this linear system. So when we, if we use a dense sampling of each of the projector's possible positions on the imaginary sphere, this is very computationally expensive. So instead, we're going to try to focus our computational costs and use an iterative adaptive sampling routine. We sparsely sample each projector's position across the specified theta and phi ranges, and we can also specify ranges in theta and phi where projectors are prohibited from being placed. We then select a projector combination which yields an optimal Q value for the kth iteration, and we reduce the next iteration sampling range and sample the next iteration over and over again for some user-specified number of iterations. So this, let's take a look at the search algorithm performance. In simulation, we have two scenes, one with a single object, and the second scene has two objects. Those are the actual target appearances we wish to achieve. This table shows the time elapsed for the two scenes after up to five iterations in minutes. And so for the first scene, after five iterations, it takes about 100 minutes, and for the second scene, it takes about 460 minutes. And the last row there, the starred row, indicates the time elapsed for a densely sampling approach that yields a similar compliancy error as that's possible after five iterations. I should also note that these times were done for a single CPU core implementation, and since this is a sampling routine, then we can easily parallelize the whole algorithm and reduce the time significantly. But in general, even with the single CPU core time implementation, we're able to achieve 3 to 4 times speed increases. This graph on the right here shows the error, the compliancy error after each iteration up to the 5 iterations for both of the two scenes. And in general, we do reduce the error, although for the second scene, it is not monotonically increasing. That little hiccup is just a sampling issue. In the third iteration, we just happen to be near the global minimum of the error, and in the fourth and fifth iterations, that particular sampling was not considered. So it could be easily rectified by including that sampling point in the successive iterations. And let's take a look at some additional results. So let's analyze the projector placement. Here I have a photograph of an object and its appearance. So on the left is the physical object itself. The middle is a surface albedo of the object, and the right is a synthetic example of a synthetic target appearance we wish to achieve. So we did do this in real life and with similar colors, not the exact same colors. But if we use multiple projectors, in this case we have 3 projectors, this is the example appearance that you can achieve. And so this is actually a photograph that we can achieve with 3 projectors. And so this is supposed to represent the fact that we have more than enough projector radiance to go ahead and achieve the colors we wish to achieve. But if we only wish to use 1 projector in our setup, and we naively place the projector in front of the object, so it's directly in front of this particular object setup, then you can see here that, particularly on the left, the pink-red color is not well achieved. In comparison, if we run our system and compute an optimal projector location, in this case it would bias the projector towards the left, then we can see that with a single projector we're able to achieve the same appearance that's possible with multiple projectors. So a little side effect of this is that we're actually much more resource efficient using a single projector here, and we don't have to use a 3 projector setup aside from some acquisition related tasks. We can also analyze the impact of different Q metrics that we use. And this is an example of, again, a single projector ad hocly placed in front of the scene. And on the right are 2 visualizations. The first we've seen is the compliancy visualization, where, again, magenta colors indicate incompliancy, and blue and green colors indicate compliancy. And on the bottom is a visualization representing light radiance efficiency, where red colors indicate a high usage of the projector light, and green colors represent a low usage of the projector light. And so if we only consider compliancy in the Q metric, we can see on the upper right visualization that compliancy is very well achieved. However, that comes at expense at higher usage in the light radiance. In comparison, if we only care about the light radiance efficiency, then we are going to lose the compliancy, which of course is bad, and we can see that in the visualization. However, we are very light radiant efficient. And for most applications, we'll want to balance the two somewhere in between. And so the visualizations show that we do achieve both good compliancy and reasonable light radiance efficiency. Here's the example from the beginning revisited again. And it's interesting to point out that on top of achieving better compliancy, in many situations, we're also much more light radiant efficient by positioning the projectors in optimal locations. Here's another example of a real-life appearance edit with 3 objects and 2 projectors, and this is a photograph of the original objects. This is a photograph of the ideal appearance that we wish to achieve, and with 2 ad hoc projectors, which we just naively place, one on the left and one on the right, we get paler colors than that is actually what we want. I don't know if it's too visible here. It might just be a projector. The projector's not too good, but the paper and my screen right here does show better color contrast. So I refer you to the actual digital paper, not the printed proceedings, which aren't too good at showing the difference as well. But in comparison with our optimized projector locations, where we place the 2 projectors on the left now, we do achieve much brighter and vivid colors. And finally, I have a temperature map visualization with annotations. On the left is the original map. It's actually a relief map. And in the middle is the desired visualization. And on the right is the achieved visualization with a single projector. And if we zoom in to take a look at 2 areas of the map, if we use a single ad hoc projector, we can see that the text is a little bit unclear, whereas the text is much more clear to see with the optimized projector location on the right. And I should also point out, this was an example where we put an additional constraint where we prevented the projector from being right in front of the relief map, just so because that's where we want the actual observer to be able to see the visualization. With regards to limitations in future work, we do not account for indirect illumination effects, as I stated, and that could actually, you know, affect a visualization that you see. It'll change some colors if it's there. So, but we don't account for that in our formulation. We can also produce impractical projector positions. So right now, we don't have any mechanism to go ahead and prevent two projectors from being placed too close to each other. But just like we can remove projector combinations where we want to, because of observer viewing situations, we can also remove combinations where two projectors are placed too close to each other. We're also concerned about the scalability of our approach, as the number of projector combinations grows very fast with the total number of projectors used. With regards to future work, we'd like to explore simultaneously using projectors of significantly different radiometric behavior, so that's going to enforce that one some projectors which are stronger be in some positions and weaker projectors be in other. We'd also like to include resolution in the definition of optimal, as a blurred appearance is obviously not very good in visualization. And we'd also like to improve our algorithm performance with multiple cores or a GPU programming implementation. And finally, we'd also like to explore color perception phenomena to achieve compliancy, and this might involve altering the colors of the target appearance, but hopefully not too much. And that concludes my talk, the final talk, I guess, of this week, and I'll open up to some questions.
Okay, we have time for questions. It is the final talk. Do you have any problems with color calibration of the projectors?
We do have radiometric calibration that occurs. So there can be some issues with color because we do assume surfaces are diffuse. And in real life, they're either probably a little bit more matte, a little bit more shiny. Like the relief map was actually like plastic, so it does have a little bit of shine on it that you could probably see. So that is an issue, but that's we can, if you want to handle that, you could change the appearance generation function to go ahead and handle that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are there any materials that are particularly difficult to work with?
Yeah, shiny objects are going to be much harder. They're going to really increase the inner reflections in particular. And they're going to be really evident in particular if you have like concave bowls or something like that. Also, if you like place them on the projectors on the side, then you're going to get a lot of the grazing angles and you get the specularities that come out. So that's an issue. You can, of course, reduce your sampling range so you don't, in those cases, sample the entire hemisphere and try to limit the projector to be more like straight on, mm-hmm. that'll reduce the specularities. But that's just a very naive approach to solving that problem.
Well, there are no further questions from the audience. We thank all the speakers of this session. Thank you very much.